buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PREPPERRECON.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, steri strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Today's guest is Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Eve, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on. Now, you also run Caring Hearts, which is a nonprofit that assists with natural disasters. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, we do. We have responded to 18 major disasters around the world in the last 11 years.
18. Wow. Now, can you just, I guess it'd probably wear you out to go through all 18, but can you give us some of the highlights, some of the big ones you've been in?
Some of the larger ones. Well, we did do the earthquake in Haiti. We did the tsunami in Sri Lanka. We did the incident over in Japan. We've responded to several, of course, hurricanes and floods and fires and stuff in the United States. So and a lot of stuff over in the Philippines because they're, you know, they have their typhoons and mudslides and stuff that happen over there as well. So we have seen a lot. We have, and through all that we have responded to is really equipped us to help people learn what it is that they really need to do to be prepared and truly the importance of being prepared.
I would imagine. Now, what's the big difference when you see when you go to a disaster in Japan or Sri Lanka or Haiti, and then you do a disaster in America? Do you see that Americans are, for the most part, much more prepared and much more equipped to handle disasters? Do you find that?
Actually, no. And
really?
And I'm going to give you a really good example. I was going to be a speaker in Kansas, and I thought, okay, if any place in the United States is prepared, Kansas will be, right? It's right in Tornado Alley.
Sure.
I mean, you know, all the big tornadoes happen in Kansas. And so I was really excited because I thought they would teach me something. And what they taught me was they were not prepared at all. I would walk into a hotel and I would go, "Where's your storm shelter?" And they'd go, "Storm shelter." And I'm like, "Okay, we're not staying here." And until we found a place that actually had one. When we talked with the people who came out to the conventions and stuff, they weren't prepared at all. Their belief was that it would not hit them. And lo and behold, on the weekend that I was there, it was tornadoes were touching down all around. And so then my class got really full, people wanting to come and learn what they needed to do. But we have found that people in America are very complacent and really just don't think it's ever going to happen to them. That it happens to other people, not their town, not their home, not their family. And so they just don't prepare. We have met in the field working with people here in America. They didn't want to spend their money on something that may not happen. A lot of them, we hear all the time now, "Oh, I don't need to spend my money. The government will give me everything I need." And we can tell you firsthand that's not happening. People need to take the responsibility. Those walls or billboards that go up where people are looking for their family members, we've seen those. We've seen people who weeks after the fact still don't know where their loved ones are, don't know if they've survived, don't know where they've been transported to. They don't have food. They don't have water. They don't have shelter. And so we, you would think in America, people would be more prepared. But in the disaster areas, I have yet to meet somebody who has looked at me and said, we've got it. Go help someone else.
Wow, that's really, really amazing. And I guess if we talk about, you know, what is the general level of preparedness of the folks that you see after disasters, I guess that's sort of a multi-layered question. So maybe we should break that down. Let's start with how physically prepared are they? And as for maybe folks that still have their home, what percentage of them have, let's say, a week's worth of food and water?
For the ones that we have worked with, and this is what's amazing, because we have worked with thousands and thousands of people. And, no, we have gone, most of the people don't even have a week's worth of food. They didn't go out and stockpile, or those that did went out and bought beer and chips, candy, things that they, you know, potted meat, and then, you know, they're standing in food lines wanting food because they had never tried potted meat and decided that was not what they were going to eat. You know, it makes you angry when you see people who have just gone out and bought beer and chips. You know, we get in, we have to take in baby formula and food because parents have not stockpiled any water or formula or baby food for their babies. And, you know, so that's always a tough one when you see the children. You know, parents may have some food for them. But, you know, I hate to say it. I mean, I would love to be able to sit here and tell you, oh, most of the people we come through, they have at least a week or 2 weeks worth of food. But that has not been the case at all. Everybody that we have worked with, we've always had to give food to. You know, they'll let us come into their home and see that they just don't really have anything. It is not uncommon for us to walk in after, you know, potentially 3 days later and most of their stuff is gone. You know, they had the stuff in their refrigerator. They figured the event would pass quickly and they don't have. So from a physical standpoint of people who have remained in their home, I think because they didn't have to evacuate, they thought it would be fast moving and that life would get back into reality, you know, normal for them quickly and they'd be able to go out grocery shopping. I'm still waiting to find the people who hit all the grocery stores like you see on the news where all the shelves emptied out fast and everything, but we have not met any of those people. For people who evacuate, one of the biggest problems that we have seen for people who did that route was that they actually left all of their relief supplies in their home and took other, you know, memorabilia and other things that they thought were more important. And then, of course, their homes were all broken into and all their relief supplies and food were all gone. So I guess that would be one thing I would really want the public to know. Never, ever evacuate without taking your supplies. And, you know, I've written a book, and my Preparation Made Simple talks about that. I have another book coming out that really addresses everything that we've seen in all the disaster areas. But a big mistake, people leave their stuff behind. And you don't want to do that because then you're at the mercy of whatever relief supplies come to you. If any.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. And then let's talk about the mental preparedness and the spiritual preparedness. How well do the people that you encounter in disasters, how well are they mentally prepared to deal with the disaster? And then also, there's got to be a big dichotomy between those that would call themselves Christians and those that are not. Do you find that the Christians more spiritually prepared and have a higher degree of hope and that they're more well adjusted to deal with disaster?
You know what? I'm going to say yes and no to that question as to whether or not Christians are more prepared.
Because that's a big brush, isn't it?
You know what? The thing is I would say that most people who call themselves Christians, a vast majority are not. We have met people because in a disaster, I asked them, why didn't you prepare? And some will say, I'm a Christian and God will bring me everything I need. And that is one of the hardships that we find out while we're speaking at conventions. But of late in the last year, there are more Christians coming out believing that God is showing them that it's important that they prepare. And so that's refreshing because in the past, a lot of Christians were not. They were not prepared to help themselves nor their neighbors. As for could they handle, were they more prepared mentally? I would say yes. For those that were, you know, reading their Bible, who really trusted in the Lord, they had more of a peace. And they were more able to help themselves through the emotional havoc and chaos and stress that was going on because God became their center. Whereas the non-believer, you know what, they did not have that grounding center. And so they were looking for others to try to help them cope with everything that was going on. So, but across the board, Christian, non-Christian, we have found that for the most part, they were equally prepared physically, but others were more prepared from a mental standpoint. And it depended what their center grounding was. Wow. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And, okay. And it is. And it's the Christian that's steeped in prayer and is putting aside time for the Bible. And it's not just church on Sunday and live for the devil the rest of the week. And that's not gonna make a huge difference as far as having that a deep well of peace to draw from when trouble comes.
Right, and you need that. You need that that rooting. You need that rooting in God in a disaster time if you want to be able to get through and really help people. I mean, you know, that's what we're supposed to be able to help our neighbor. And there are a lot of people, it's just chaotic after a disaster. And you're right, for the person who's not in the Word of God, they have struggled much more because they become very angry that God would allow such a thing to happen to them. And but those that were rooted realized that, you know what, bad things happen, but God is right there with them.
And then you talked about the people that didn't want to spend the money. And particularly the Christians that said, well, God's going to prepare for me. And I think it's ironic that most of those same Christians and most of those same people that say they didn't want to spend the money for something that may never happen, they've all got health insurance. They don't trust God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have health insurance, but I'm just saying by their standards, they're not trusting God with their health. They all have a 401k or a retirement plan. So by their standards, they're not trusting God with their retirement. And they all have homeowner's insurance in case their house burns down. So by their standards, they're not trusting God to keep their house from burning down. They've got car insurance and everything else, and they probably get travel insurance and you name it. So by their standards, they don't trust God with any of that other stuff. But then all of a sudden, when you start talking about EMPs, economic collapses, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, all of these types of things, all of a sudden, these people that have no faith for God to provide for their health, retirement, watch over their homes, protect their car, or keep them safe at any other time, all of a sudden, they're going to have the faith to move mountains, and manna is going to rain down, and the quail's going to blow in with the east wind, and they're just going to be filled with living in the land of milk and honey when all that happens.
Do you know what? Now, I have to record that section that you just stated there because that was beautiful. You need to add in there life insurance. How many people buy life insurance? Why? Because they want to make sure if they die, their family's taken care of. But they don't want to do anything in preparedness if there's some sort of disaster, that disaster could be you lost your job. It is, that's beautiful. And I tell people all the time too, I say, if we look at the Word of God, what did Joseph, God told Joseph, store up. You look at Noah, God had Noah, built in the ark. And if you look at the 10 virgins, 5 it went well for, and the other 5 not so much. And yet, why is it okay that the Christian will buy all those different life insurance policies, but yet to be responsible, to listen to the Word of God, pay attention to the signs of the time, and prepare. Prepare for yourself and prepare so that when something happens, you can step out and be a mighty force for Him by helping and encouraging and providing and guiding and teaching people what they need to do to survive because they chose not to do anything before an event happened. No, Christians, a lot of Christians won't. And I actually have been yelled at for even bringing up Joseph, Noah, and the 10 virgins by pastors, and being told that we are teaching people to hoard and not to trust God. And you know what? I love God, and I trust God with all my heart, and we go into these disasters trusting that He will bring us home to our family safe once again, that He has sent us out on a mission to do a work, and that we will, He will bring us home safely again. But people need to wake up, and they need to start really paying attention and going, we have been greatly blessed in this country, but look what just happened in Brussels. I'm sure nobody thought those bombings were going to happen. And they're happening more and more frequently. Natural disasters are happening more and more frequently. And, people just need to be responsible and be prepared.
And the next thing we should probably talk about is personal preparedness. The people that you encounter in the disasters, do they have the physical ability? Do they have the strength? Are they healthy enough to perform the tasks that they need to be doing? And then do they have the skills that they need to deal with that disaster?
Okay, so that's a multi-question. Okay, so I'm going to break that one down. A lot of the people that we meet, most people are not in the best of health. And that's why we go out to these different conventions and encourage people, now is the time. You want to be in your best physical shape possible in any disaster. If you are 50 pounds overweight, when a disaster hit, is not the time to decide that's when you're going to get physically fit. It's grueling. When you are having to do work in 100-plus degrees after an event and you're out cleaning up debris and trying to put your household together, your stress level is highly increased. And then also your physical is going to be highly stressed because you're going without air conditioning, you're going out without normal food, you're going out usually without good rest because you're really stressed out. So there are just so many different things. So no, Americans for the most part are not physically prepared. From a skill level, more and more people are coming out to get skills. And that is very encouraging. More people are trying to learn simple skills. We try to teach people, you know, how do you start a fire with only one match? And that's a criteria with our organization. You only get one match. And if you can't get it lit in one match, well, we're going to give you all kinds of ideas on how to get that fire going, because, you know, your matches, your fire source is so important. And more and more people are coming out trying to learn medical. We are really big on teaching alternatives because a lot of people do not know a lot about natural alternatives. Where overseas, a lot of people know about natural alternatives. And what happens when your medical kit runs out and you don't have something to take care of influenza, or you don't have something to take care of Lyme's disease, you know, what do you do? You know, so there, more and more people are coming out to learn that. So this year, it's very encouraging. I think people are starting to take that aspect more seriously, and trying to gain skills. One thing we have found that really hasn't improved is that people are going out and they are buying one-size-fit-all, like 72-hour bags or a two-week kit, and they never open it up. They never try anything. They are not trying the tools, trying to make them work. And so we come across people who don't know how to make the stuff work that they purchased. And so we like to encourage people, if you buy something, open it. It's not supposed to sit in a bag or on a shelf until disaster hits. You are supposed to be using those so it becomes second nature to you.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez on Lessons from Mega Disasters. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams about the judgment coming upon America for rejecting God's word. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.